to episode 243 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That is Gaming for the Elderly, and today is November 5th, 2013. And I am just one of your humble hosts today, Greg DeLacy, and with me this week, Mr. Mike Chin.
Yo, 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 witty, 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 wah, wah, blow.
Mike, how you doing?
I'm all right, how are you?
I'm good. A little disappointed because we were supposed to have Christopher Matthew and Richard Primrose on this week.
Yeah.
And
they ditched us.
They ditched us.
Yeah.
We literally have no idea where they're at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were supposed to all be on the podcast this week, and of course, podcast A.
Oh, well.
No clue where they're at. No clue.
Well.
I'm assuming Mr. Matthew has been delayed, not detained, just delayed in whatever he's doing, and so hasn't been able to make it home yet. And Primrose, probably asleep. Let's face facts. Probably asleep.
Yeah.
Maybe an empty glass of wine sitting next to the nightstand.
That's where I want to be right now. Just like asleep.
Oh, okay. Because you don't drink, though.
No.
Yeah. It helps you sleep, though. Sort of.
I don't really have... much trouble. I have trouble getting into bed because I just like to stay up. But when I'm in bed, I'm pretty good at falling asleep. But like, I don't fall asleep watching movies though.
Cause, you don't?
No.
I do like a little white noise when I fall asleep. Something in the background, something that just I don't necessarily have to focus on, but it's kind of there. Especially if it's like a hot night.
Yeah.
I have the hardest time falling. If I don't have like air conditioning or a fan blowing on me, I am miserable.
Yeah.
So I need something to distract me.
Well, we don't get many hot nights, so.
True.
We don't worry about that stuff.
Yeah, I do like a cold night.
We get plenty of those. You should come visit.
Yes. I should. I should come visit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that covers it for the sleep section of the podcast.
Yes. Tick that off.
Yep, that's check marked off. We do talk about video games mostly. Mostly.
Most of the time.
Yeah, so let's talk about what we played over the weekend, Mike. In fact, we played some games together, specifically one game in particular.
Yeah.
GTA 5 Online.
GTA 5, it went so smooth.
It's so smooth.
You know, the thing I love about GTA Online is the interface, the way you jump into games, it just all works so organically and perfectly, you know. Never have problems. And it's not like there's a two-hour tutorial to do at the start, and, you know, you just jump in. Yeah.
Exactly. Jump in from the get-go, and it's totally smooth. All your friends can continuously always just jump in with you at any point in time. There's never a problem getting a party of people together to play a game.
Yeah.
And never an issue with wanting to play the same game twice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no need to refresh, trying to find certain game modes and seeing if they pop up, and if they don't, then just passing on. None of that. Yeah. But to its credit, Mike, Top Fun? Was that the game mode we played? Top Fun 2?
Yes, Top Fun and Top Fun 2. Yeah.
Right. That was a lot of fun.
It is fun.
Yeah, so this is the game mode where you pit either, depending on if you're Top Fun 1 or Top Fun 2, it's either on motorcycles versus the jets.
That's correct.
Or it is cars versus the jets.
Yeah, they're not directly against each other, though. It's the guys on the ground have to get to a certain destination, and the jets have to stop those vehicles getting to that destination.
Yes.
We played a game mode today that was a lot of fun that we just kind of played by chance. And it was, you could get eight people in there, and it was 2v2v2v2. And there was these cars called the Patriots, and they're like big 4x4 type cars. And you have to, each team of two has to try and get a Patriot and deliver it. And it's ridiculous. The amount of trouble that we had trying to do it, but it was a lot of fun. So,
okay, all right, yeah. So GTA, it's good, not great, at least you know from my perspective. I had a lot of fun with the group setting. I don't know. This is something I'm going to be like. I can't wait to play more. Clearly, it wasn't because I think that was the only time I played it over the weekend was with you.
But it was fun.
It was fun.
Would you play it again?
It was fun. Probably, yeah. I'll probably dive into it again. But I have to tell you, I had even more fun playing something else online with other friends.
We should talk about the fact that you did your Extra Life thing.
Yes, we definitely should talk about that. So Extra Life was this past weekend.
That happened.
Yeah, that happened.
Well, I joined you. I really wasn't in the mood for GTA, and I thought, you know, like I got to jump on and support Greg and Mark, who are, you know, probably very tired. Or Mark was when I jumped on. He was 22 hours in, whereas you was only like 4 or 5. But
right.
You know, I thought I'd take part in your little Extra Life thing.
Yeah, so no, it was good fun. It was, I think anybody who partook in, the event and did the 25, well, it was 25 hours for some of us or 24 hours for some of us, depending on where in the world you were. Either way, it's hard. You get into those last few hours and it becomes an issue of not staying awake per se, just staying focused.
Yeah.
So,
what did you do? What was your playlist?
So, the playlist started off with Madden, because Gary DeFelice and I had done a Madden league together, and we were on the cusp of having our playoff game against one another, assuming both of us won our games.
Right.
And so, I had one game to go. I got through that game, and then I played Gary, and we did our championship game because it was right before the Super Bowl. So we weren't playing in the Super Bowl. We were playing against one another for the championship. And hats off to Gary. He trounced me.
Bam.
It was like 38-21, I think, was the final score.
Oh, dear.
And my offense was just anemic against his defense.
I was going to say that to you, actually. Your offense was pretty poor.
Yeah.
That's what I observed as well.
It was clear. Well, what was Gary did, you know, he did his homework this go round. He defended the run really well. The first time when I played Gary and I beat him.
Did he hear your tactic?
Yes. Yes, he did hear my tactic. So he did his own homework. But when I first beat Gary, my running back ran off about 260 yards against him, which is huge because normal running backs that have a good day in the NFL, it's about 130-ish. That would be a great day for a back in the NFL. So I really crushed it against him. And yet it was still fairly close that game, but I did beat him. And then the next time we played, I actually was without my star running back. He was injured, and so I was playing at a – you know, with an inferior running back. And so Gary beat me pretty handily that time, but we kind of chalked it up to the fact that I didn't have my full complement of my team. And so when this game came around, all of my team was healthy. And so I went in, you know, kind of foolishly, a little thinking, you know, what worked before will work again.
Ooh,
and I could force the
Greg.
Issue. Yes. It didn't work out that way. I could not, establish my run game. And it was snowing. That was the other part of it. So in the Madden game, we're playing in the snow, which also, you know, went against me. And then I just made some poor decisions here and there in terms of the passing game.
Not a good day in the office, Greg. Not a good day in the office.
Not at all. Not at all. I think we're going to do a second season though. So hopefully I'll be able to redeem myself. I have to figure out if I can keep all my players, though. That's one of the things I have to do over the next day or so.
Okay.
So I have to go in as a general manager, sign contracts, make sure I keep my team as intact as possible, and then go into the draft.
You're going to break some hearts, Greg.
Probably. There's a few people I need to give the bad news. They're just not going to make the team.
You're just not working out for the team.
No, not working out. So Madden, it was fun. It was good fun, and we had a great time playing. And again, hats off to Gary. He did awesome. He also was partaking in Extra Life.
Uh-huh.
So then I think the next game I played, I'm trying to think if it was Splinter Cell or if it was GTA. I think it was GTA. I think we transitioned into GTA Online. And I played GTA Online with you. We kind of already talked about that.
Yeah.
And then from there, I believe I jeez, please. Now I'm trying to remember if it was Splinter Cell next, and then I took a bit of a break and played Gears of War 3, and then went back into Splinter Cell, and spent a lot of time in Splinter Cell. I ended up finishing out the single-player campaign through the course of the... Yeah. And really enjoyed the game. Splinter Cell is one of my favorites for the year. I'm not going to say it's game of the year by any stretch, but it was definitely up there as one of my probably top five for the year.
Yeah, I really think I'm going to like Splinter Cell.
Yeah, it's good, and I like that there are a bunch of optional missions that you can partake in if you want, either co-op. Some are strictly co-op, but a lot of the optional missions are solo or co-op.
Yeah.
And when they are, when you do have a co-op partner, there are usually certain elements within the game that you can only access an area or whatever if you have a co-op partner.
Right. Gotcha.
It was really well done, and it excites me for, you know, seeing the Splinter Cell of the future. I think it's a franchise that still has some good legs to it. I don't think they've killed it yet.
No. I mean, the last two, Conviction was brilliant, and this one's sounding like it's going to be good. So yeah, I just haven't it slipped me by Splinter Cell. It just passed me, and I don't know why, because I loved it, but I just didn't pick this one up. I don't know.
Yeah. It was coming out at a weird time. It came out late August, and GTA 5 was just around the corner. So I know a lot of people were kind of like, maybe I'll hold off for GTA 5. But,
I was capturing GTA 4 at the time and playing through that and waiting for 5. So didn't work out.
Yes. So Gears of War 3 Horde mode got in with a group of people. In fact, Mr. Duke Scath, Eric Piotrowski, he jumped in and played with us. And we actually did not only... Horde mode, but we also played a bunch of team deathmatch, and not team deathmatch. We were doing the capture points, King of the Hill.
Yep.
And Gears of War 3 is a great game.
It is.
It still is a great friggin' game. I mean, I had a blast playing with those guys, and we just it was just a ton of good fun, We had, it was Mary Kate, I think is her name. And I want to say, I'm going to find her name real quickly, but I want to say she's actually part of, like, the Fragdoll Girls, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, that's the Ubisoft girls, right?
Yeah, I could be wrong on that, but I think so. Anyway, but she had joined us. She was actually on our VGHub.net team this year. For Extra Life, so she also was participating, and it was kind of cool just meeting some new people and just having fun in Gears.
Yeah, the thing is with these games, like, you don't play them for a while, you just forget how good they are.
Yeah,
because something else comes along. But yeah, Gears is great. So with the right people, I was playing GTA tonight, and GTA with the right people, that 2v2v2. Mission that we was playing was just hilarious with the right people, because you just know who's killing you, you know who's shooting you, and it's just so much fun and such a good laugh. So
but it's good stuff. I also did a bunch of Defense Grid while I was playing for Extra Life as well. That was my kind of when I was eating and not necessarily needing to be like completely focused on, like Twitch reactions.
Yeah.
Defense Grid was the game I was playing. And dear Lord, some of those DLC maps.
They're solid.
Freaking impossible. Yeah. Not just solid. Like, I mean, frustration, like replaying countless times. And my strategy was, I'll just do lots of machine guns and Inferno, flamethrowers.
Yeah.
No, that strategy was not working for me.
No.
So again, it could have also been my layout and what I was doing, but I mean,
there's so many things. There's so many things where
you
could be slipping up. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. So, but Defense Grid, it is a great game. I love that game. So I just had fun with that. But yeah. So overall, it all went well. The team as on a whole did great. So far, we've raised. Oh gosh, I want to say we've raised like 2,600 I'll tell you the exact amount right now. We have raised as a team $2,715, so $2,715.
Wow.
But that number is going to go up.
Yep.
I
can still donate.
You can still donate, and I do have a donation coming from an organization so it will be a sizable donation. Nothing crazy like last year, but I believe it's going to be at least $500, so I'm pretty excited for that. But that's going to come later this week. But the good news for those that did donate to me,
the organization, Greg, what favors did you do? Jesus Christ.
Well, here's the little secret. It's actually my ex-wife's organization. we're still on good terms.
Again.
Still on good terms.
What did you do?
I let her out of a bad marriage?
Yeah. Just get me in and I'll donate every year.
No. My ex-wife, Denise, had contacted me through Facebook because I had been posting up 2 years back on Extra Life. And so she said, hey, is this something that we might be able to make a donation for? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't expect it to be nearly as much as it turned out to be. But, it's been, you know, great to have an organization donating, you know, on behalf or through me, I guess is probably the best way to put it. Yeah. But anyway, so the exciting thing, Mike, is with the Extra Life, you know, I had put out there and we'll be carrying through on that anybody who donated at least $25 or more qualified for a drawing for a $60 Amazon card.
Good.
And so we're going to draw the name on the show in just a little bit. I figure we'll save that for a little bit. So those that are listening right now, hang in there. Hang in there. It's coming. It's coming. But we're going to cover the news headlines and new releases first, and then we'll dive into that little tidbit and go through that all.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so for now, I suppose we can talk about new releases. Sure.
Well, we didn't really talk about what I've been playing, but, you know, whatever.
Well, Mike, we did GTA 5 Online, unless you want to talk about Dishonored, but I believe you already said everything you were going to say about Dishonored last week. Unless you've changed your mind, you think it's the greatest game in the world now.
I think it's a good game, but it is wearing a bit, not wearing a bit thin, maybe that's not the right term. It's wearing off on me a little bit. For example, I was on a mission today and I don't think I was going the way I should, but isn't that the point of Dishonored? You can go kind of like anyway.
Kind of.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I was going up a thing to go down a thing, definitely in a weird way, but I was like doing it, and because you can climb and blink over to these things, and I was like, right, fine. And then I jumped down and I was meant to blink down, you know, teleport down, but I jumped by accident, and then it loaded up the checkpoint, and the checkpoint was mid-fall.
Mid-fall.
So every time I loaded the checkpoint, it would load me in mid-fall, and then I would die.
That's not good, Mike.
No. So it was checkpoint, load me up mid-fall, die. Kept on doing it, and then I thought, I need to blink and warp over to like a ledge or something. And
right.
I did it once. But I could do it to the ground and live, but there's loads of these enemies down there and they just kill me really quickly.
Oh.
So I couldn't do that. So I managed, as soon as it loaded, to blink over on this ledge very quickly. There was one enemy on it, killed that enemy, and then I survived. But it was a bit dodgy. And the level that I'm doing right now is just not that fun.
Mm.
It's just not fun. And the last level I did, as it turns up the difficulty, it's really difficult. You know, it's just hard not to get seen. And whereas the first couple of levels, it's still hard, but it's not too difficult. You know, you feel like you could sneak through it, but I was just having
a trouble. You realize if Christopher Matthew was here, he'd be giving you a hard time about the comment of, as you turn up the level of difficulty, it gets really difficult.
Well, he's not here, is he? So he should be.
No.
He should be here, but he's not. So what can he do? Nothing. You know, it just as the difficulty increases throughout the game, it becomes harder to hide, which kind of makes it less fun in a way. The one level that I did before this one that I'm on now, I kind of got seen, and what I usually do when I get seen is I just allow myself to die and start again.
Right.
But I got away really in a really cool way. You know what I mean? Like I stabbed this guy, stabbed another guy, ran up, jumped out the window, and I was gone. And I was like, oh, you know what? I should keep going. And then from then on, I started to get a little bit lazy. And so if they saw me, I wouldn't really load a checkpoint. I would just kill everyone.
Yeah, you'd already done the deed once.
Yeah,
which means
they've seen me.
Ruined the gameplay.
They've seen me here. They know I'm here. Whereas in the other levels, they didn't even know I was there. You know, but like they know I'm here. They know I'm around, and they talk about me as well. They're like, we know there's been a disturbance, so they obviously reacted to me being there as well.
So here's a weird thought, and I don't know. This could be completely off base, but when I played Dishonored, I played it after I had played BioShock Infinite. And something about Dishonored, and I don't know if it's the first-person perspective in the way you move or what, but it reminded me very much of what I had just done with BioShock Infinite. I mean, you know, again, maybe it's a little bit of because there's kind of that steampunk vibe.
And also, you play them right next to each other. That will do it.
But I just didn't find the gameplay all that engaging. And I found the same thing with BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it was both. And I think my bigger issue was with Dishonored. I wasn't, like, super engrossed in the story. That was the only thing that really kind of kept me going with BioShock Infinite was the promise of this crazy ending that I'd been kind of hearing about. So as I was playing through it, I was really curious to see what was happening at the end of BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
I didn't have that kind of drive with Dishonored, and so
the story's fairly simple, really. Like, mm-hmm. And there's a twist in the story. Did you finish Dishonored, Greg?
No, I have not finished it yet.
There's a twist in the story, and I could see it coming a mile off. You know, it wasn't. I could just tell. I was like, yeah, this is going to happen. And it did. And I was like, yeah, okay, fine. But the way you get out of it was quite cool. You know, like somebody helps you out, and that was unexpected, I suppose. But you know, the story basically is the Empress gets murdered, and you're at the scene, and people think it's you that murders her, and you have to kind of kill the certain people to get the right people in power. And there's the daughter of the Empress, and put her in her rightful place next to the heir of the, you know, so she can be the Empress.
Right.
And that kind of thing. And then, you know, a few people don't do as they say, and a few people turn their back on you and all that kind of stuff. So it's a fairly meh story. But it's enough. Like, I thought it was enough. It's enough. I know what's going on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
Like, at least I can say that about it. Like, all the games where the story is a bit crap and I don't know what's going on, but at least with this, you know, the level that I'm on now, I know exactly why I'm there. I know exactly how I got there and stuff. So yeah, I like that about it. It's not very complicated. Therefore, you can keep up with it. So it's an okay game. I think I'm definitely going to keep playing it. But it's just the last couple of levels really didn't sit too well with me. But you know.
All right. Well, yeah, there's a game from 2012. There we go.
Boom.
Boom. All right. Mike, now can we talk about new releases?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, let's talk about some new releases. All right, so the game releases continue, and Wii U owners are excited because there's games coming out to the system. Ben 10 Omniverse 2. Coming out to retail shelves this week. Call of Duty Ghosts coming out to the Wii U. That's some game. We'll be talking about that for sure in a little bit. Zumba Fitness World Party also coming out to the Wii U and the Wii, just in case you were wondering. Over on the 3DS and DS, you've got Ben 10 Omniverse 2, Jewel Master Cradle of Egypt 2, Mashi Monsters Katsuma Unleashed, and Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures, all sitting alongside,
Pac-Man,
of course,
and the Ghostly Adventures.
I know.
Is that a toy with Call of Duty guns?
It probably not, but it should be. And last but certainly not least, Power Rangers Mega Force. That's for the 3DS, and moving over to the PS Triple, the old PS3, you've got Ben 10 Omniverse 2, yeah. Call of Duty Ghosts, Castlevania Lords of Shadow Collection, and the Guided Fate Paradox.
So what's the Lords of Shadow Collection?
It's a collection of games.
Isn't there one Lords of Shadow? And then the sequels come in,
So the sequel's coming. It hasn't come out yet. I don't quite know what the Lords of Shadow collection is. I'm guessing it's not only Lords of Shadow, but maybe a few other of the side-scrolling Castlevania games in there as well.
Right, okay.
So that's my best guess. I suppose we could be bothered to look it up and find out for sure, but I'm just going to keep reading off games. Mm-hmm. PSN this week, Adventures of Cookie and Cream.
Okay.
Amen 2. And Ben 10 Omniverse 2.
Amen 2.
Amen. I think it's like A-Men, so like Army Men 2 maybe? I don't know. Call of Duty Ghosts, Castle Storm, Final Exam, The Guided Fate Paradox, and How to Survive, which is a third-person... That's another game I played. I almost forgot. Third-person kind of perspective... zombie game that's not very good.
Is it a top-down one?
Yeah, it's kind of... It's not really top-down. It's from that kind of...
Isometric,
thank you. Isometric view. And the premise on it is not too bad. The only problem with that game is that the actual combat is just kind of boring.
Right. Like, I saw some gameplay.
Yeah, it's like clicking a button.
The presentation is really well done, though. Like the menus It looks really nice.
It does look pretty nice. I just got pretty bored with it. So,
appreciate
it. Demos this week, Mike. Castle Storm, Final Exam, Grid 2, and How to Survive. And How to Survive, it is about zombies, just in case you were wondering.
Yes.
Moving over to the PS Vita. Nothing on retail shelves, but PSN games. Amen 2 and Castle Storm. Moving to the Xbox 360, Call of Duty Ghosts, Zumba Fitness World Party, Castlevania Lords of Shadow Collection, and Ben 10 Omniverse 2. The Xbox Live Arcade game this week, Final Exam, and of course there is a demo of Final Exam as well.
Of course.
PC and Mac this week, Battle World Chronos, right. Call of Duty Ghosts.
Okay.
Fester Mud Episode 1, Final Exam, Journey of a Roach.
Is that Journey 2?
Maybe, I don't know. Poof versus the Cursed Kitty.
What the hell is going on?
And Ride 'em Low.
Okay. What happens when... Call of Duty's here. Do they just hope that other people will buy these crappy games while picking up Call of Duty or something? Like, what the...
I guess. I don't know. But, yeah. So those are your new releases. Pretty exciting.
That was rough.
Yeah. Some interesting titles.
Apart from Ghosts, I mean, you know.
Yeah, there was... I mean, it is... the only title that I think remotely is going to potentially do well on its own outside of Call of Duty Ghosts is Zumba Fitness, and that's just because of all of the Zumba fans out there that are wanting to pick it up for the Wii U or the Wii and on, you know, Xbox for Kinect. Outside of that, I don't think there's another title that's going to do remotely well this week.
Nope.
Anyway, we do have some headline news this week. Again, lots of stuff happening.
Yes.
So I figured I would just roll through some news headlines and just stop me where you think you make a, you know, if you want to make a comment on something, feel all free. Right. Otherwise, we'll just keep rolling. The PS Vita this week, Mike, got 3.0 update, went live. It's adding the PS4 link to the Vita. Okay. So the firmware update preps the handheld for the PS4's arrival, which, Mike, it's literally just, 10 days away.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
PS4, 10 days away, well, November 15th. Well, that's in the U.S., I should say.
Yeah.
Still a little ways off for the U.K.
My mate asked me if he wants me to go with him when he buys his Xbox One in about 3 weeks.
Right.
So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? Be cool to see it.
Yeah, there you go.
So I'll have a play on it.
Okay.
But I'm not getting one.
But you're not getting one.
What's your stance on it, Greg? Are you getting one?
I am. I have it pre-ordered.
An Xbox One or PlayStation 4?
I do have the Xbox One pre-order. It just for me, I'm not an indie game person, and I don't care about Killzone. So
yeah, I don't think many people
nothing,
do that.
There was nothing in the launch window for me from a next-gen standpoint that really said, hey, you need to get the PS4 now. I eventually will get a PS4.
Yeah. A Naughty Dog player.
Yeah. I do love Naughty Dog games. So, from that standpoint alone, I certainly want to experience that. I just was kind of like, you know, I don't mind, you know, spilling for the Xbox One this go round, and then later on down the road, like I did last time, I'll get my PS4. I'll be happy. I can play whatever. Done.
Yeah, I think I'll cave in for the Titanfall when that comes out. That's when I'll.
You know, think you're not alone.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be quite a few people jumping on that.
Yep.
Speaking of Xbox One, Mike, Unity, the Unity license is free for ID at Xbox developers. So this is the indie game development project they started up. And so Microsoft now it basically announced that all developers in the ID at Xbox program will have free access to the Unity game engine.
Good.
Yeah. So
that's the indie games covered.
Yeah, and And what's nice for these developers is, you know, Unity has become kind of the go-to, at least per the article, it's the go-to cross-platform, you know, game development tool. So really, anybody that's developing for the Xbox has, you know, kind of the ability to cross-platform develop with this tool, and they're going to get it free just by making one of the versions of their game on Xbox One.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next story. Mike, Forza Motorsport 5's car pass is $50. That's their season pass.
Right.
$50 for the next gen.
What game was this?
For Forza 5.
Forza 5.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I know you don't necessarily care.
That's a lot for a season pass, though.
It is a lot for a season pass.
But $20, $30 usually, season pass, is that right?
Yeah, usually. The car packs apparently are going to be priced around $10 a piece.
Okay.
They said the season pass is going to offer up just under 20% savings, so it's like 18, I think, is the specific price. And the pass will release, basically gets you, what is it, I don't know, I'm trying to see if I found the note for how many season or how many different car packs they're going to do, but basically each car pack, I believe, has 10 cars in it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they're pushing. It's just like Forza 4. They're going to push out a ton of car packs. So I mean, if you plan on playing Forza 5 and you're one of those people that loves to download all the cars, you know, if you're going to be downloading a ton of cars, this is definitely the route to go.
Yeah.
If you're like me and you bought a couple of those car packs way back when, because they went on sale, you know, 4 or 5 months later, I wouldn't bother with the pass. Just my 2 cents.
Yeah. Yeah, people know who they are that would benefit from that, you know.
Yeah. So more racing news, Mike. PlayStation 4 owners have something to look forward to in the U.S. For North America when it releases on November 15th in the realm of car racers. Because as you know, Drive Club was delayed, and Need for Speed Rivals wasn't actually launching until November 22nd. So there was a window of a good week or so that PlayStation 4 fans were not going to have any racing title on their launch console.
Mm.
Well, now EA has stepped up, and apparently Need for Speed Rivals is now going to be a PlayStation 4 launch title, and it will hit the store shelves on November 15th as part of the console's launch lineup.
But is that's multi-platform now, right?
It is multi-platform, so it's still coming to the Xbox One on November 22nd.
Mm.
But for PlayStation 4 in North America, it's going to hit on November 15th. And I think this is a smart move for EA, because if you think about it, when you go out and you buy your console, you know, you're picking it up day one, you're usually looking to buy one or two titles to go with it right when you get it. You want something to play right then. And often, especially when the console is pretty expensive, those few titles that you pick up are going to kind of last you for a while.
Yeah.
You know, because you just blew a chunk of money. So if Need for Speed Rivals isn't at the store shelf the day you're picking up your console, there's a good chance you're not going to be able to afford it a week or so later, because you've already spent your money on some games you wanted to play.
Yeah, you bought your kind of quota. Yeah. You'll fill up, you know, you'll buy two games no matter what. Just to get the out of it, yeah.
Yeah, so I think this was a smart move on EA's part. And, you know, it certainly helps out the PlayStation 4's launch lineup just in terms of just when people are in the store. You know, it's a good move. Speaking of good moves, the Wii Mini is arriving in the U.S., packed with Mario Kart Wii. Basically, it's going to be $100.
Yes, the Wii Mini.
Yes. So it's funny because the Wii Mini is just a Wii without any kind of Wi-Fi or internet connection.
Brilliant.
But it is kind of brilliant. $100 for a console, it's not bad. I had thought they had said that they were taking the Wii U out of production, but that – and I just assumed that was, you know, kind of all versions of the Wii. But apparently the Wii Mini is still being produced. And the Wii, the main Wii unit or main console with internet connectivity, actually is still being produced for certain regions. It's just no longer officially being produced in Japan and I think a few other regions. But, anyway, so Nintendo, they're making a play for the holiday. I think this is a good call, because at $100, that's almost kind of like you're walking by, you see it and you're like, hey, why don't we get one of these?
Mm.
You know? So,
who doesn't have a Wii by now?
I don't.
Sure.
But
you're not
going to
get
one. Yeah, I never really wanted one. The Extra Life charity, Mike, over the weekend, while they were gaming for 24 and 25 hours and raising money, they actually came under a DDoS attack. Somebody twice tried to attack the site. And a, you know, denial of services attack. It didn't result in anything other than kind of just, you know, pissing some people off and causing some headaches. But it happened twice over the course of the weekend. Both times they were able to get the site back up in, you know, relatively quick time. But,
what's the purpose of the attack? What's the point of it?
Well, you know, so if you think back to like with Sony, when they had their DDoS attack, that was basically kind of a, you know, they started getting attacked and it was in a sense kind of them trying to distract while they went in and hacked the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, you've got a charity event where you've got people donating lots of money and you've got lots of credit card information and stuff being sent to, you know, this charity. I'm sure some hackers are looking at the opportunity to get credit card information as being out there. So, you know, maybe that was a possible purpose for this, but from the organizers, basically, you know, nothing came of it other than the fact that it pretty much kind of shut down the site for two different time frames during the event. It's just sad, though.
I mean,
yeah, it's just sad. Mike, the Xbox One will play audio compact discs. I know you were very worried about this.
Oh, thank God.
Yes. Yes. It will play compact discs as well as it will be DLNA compatible, which I don't really know what that is.
It's like DivX and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. And it plays dodgy files.
Right, it plays dodgy files. Yeah. It also
that
will...
you might download illegally.
Yes. Okay. Makes sense now. It will play MP3 files, but it won't read MP3 files at launch. It won't play them directly. So you have to play your MP3 files off of, say, another computer device that's hooked up, connected to your Xbox One. And the reason why this all came about is because Sony, in one of their FAQs last week, revealed that the console won't be able to read CDs. Out of the box, it won't read CDs, and it won't support DLNA or MP3 files. Now, they have since said that they will look into it, but this is something that it's not going to support at launch. Down the road, maybe.
It won't even play Blu-rays.
Well, out of the box, it won't. It does need the
It needs an update to play a fucking Blu-ray.
Yes.
It's got a Blu-ray player in it.
I know. That still boggles my mind. I don't get that, how you have a Blu-ray drive.
Bought a PS4 for a Blu-ray player, and it wouldn't work.
To be fair, the PS4 and the Xbox One both are having day one patches. That basically they have said that in terms of the PS4, the day one patch can be downloaded in the background while you're using the system. So in theory, I don't believe that's going to affect the system itself.
And I think it's a case of, these consoles are now being made. It's the same as when a game gets released, it goes gold.
Right.
And certain things, goes gold a month before it hits the store. And in a month, you can fix a lot of stuff.
True.
I think it's the case of the software that's on the Xbox One in the factory floor has got bugs in it, and they know it, and they're just patching it up and fixing it in this month.
Well, as you recall, the Xbox One, the big piece of the day one patch, at least as far as I know, is still the case, is that day one patch is removing all of the DRM stuff. So, that's actually a pretty critical one for the Xbox One moving forward.
I thought that was going to just be in the box.
I was under the impression it was actually the day one patch. That's where that was going to happen. Mm. However,
I'll be right. I don't know.
For my money, though, the smart way is not to have that be part of the day one patch. That should be in the box already, and make the day one patch all anything that's not critical to system, compatibility and performance. But who knows? Mm. I suppose we will find out come launch day. Mike, Capcom netted their net income was up 20% in Q2, and that's despite Lost Planet 3 only managing 300,000 in sales, which definitely was underperforming. Lost Planet 3 to me seemed like a title they just kind of sent out to die. It wasn't, the reviews on it weren't terribly great, so,
no.
I think 300,000.
Nothing about it. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, 300,000 might actually be good considering what little advertising there was and how it didn't really review terribly well, so it's actually better than I probably thought it was going to do. Moving on. More news, Mike. Ouya 2.0 is going to launch next year. I know you're excited for that. Apparently, part of the relaunching of the Ouya is going to be an improved controller.
Right.
The new controller will address many issues the customer cited with the original model, offering textured thumbsticks, more responsive triggers, Mike, and face buttons that no longer become stuck in the peripheral's faceplate.
Okay.
Yeah. The improved controller may be difficult to spot at retail, however, as Ouya packaging will not reflect whether the redesigned accessory is included. So, buyer beware. Speaking of posting financials, Sony posted a net loss in Q2 and adjusted its profit forecast down. Now, this is, of course, Sony worldwide. The PlayStation division, there was no indication that the decreased expectations apply to the PS4. Really, I think this was just kind of...
Yeah, they have TVs, everything they do, yeah.
Yeah. Sony still expects to ship a combined total of 15 million PS4 and PS3 units by the end of March 2014.
Yeah.
So they're still, you know, definitely high on the horse with the PS4, as they should be. They've got a lot of momentum going right now.
Who do you think is going to sell the most, Greg? By this year, who do you think is going to sell the most?
I think Sony will definitely sell more than the Xbox One out of the gate. And I'm going to make a prediction. It'll sell more than the Wii U over the holiday.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'll put money on that one.
And the interesting thing is going to be to see how well the PS3 and the Xbox 360 do over the holiday.
That will be interesting, yeah. Because they'll still sell.
Well, and there's some rumored crazy price cuts happening to both the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
So I know I saw a leaked Black Friday ad for Toys R Us, and it showed the I want to say it was the Last of Us bundle, the PS3 bundle, or maybe it was the Uncharted 3 PS3 bundle.
Right.
But either way, I want to say it was a 250 gig hard drive. Could have been 500. I didn't see the number on the hard drive. But, you know, the PS3 unit with – and again, gosh, now I wish I had it in front of me. But anyway, it was only $199, which normally that's going for, I think, $260 or $250 in the U.S. And then on the Microsoft side, they have the Xbox 4 gig S model with the Kinect sensor and the two Kinect Adventures and Kinect Sports game, as well as for any Xbox purchased, Toys R Us is also giving a copy of, I believe it was Halo 3 with it,
right.
And that was all for $199. Normally that bundle without the Halo 3 goes for $299, so they're slashing prices pretty dramatically for the holidays. All right, and I think this is our last piece of news, Mike.
Okay.
And we talked about it before, Call of Duty Ghosts.
Ghosts.
So more resolution gate stuff happening. So last week we found out Battlefield 4 for the PS4 was 900p. It was only 720p on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Everybody was kind of up in arms over that, and rumors were swirling that Call of Duty Ghosts was also going to be having a resolution difference. And Mark Rubin came forward and said via Twitter, and basically said, you know, hey, Xbox Ghosts on the Xbox One is 720p and 60 frames per second, and it'll be upscaled to 1080p, and it is a native 1080p on the PS4. That caused a huge uproar. Again, Call of Duty fans love their gaming, and nobody likes to think about getting a inferior version, and so a huge debate has begun and been waging ever since about, you know, the differences between 1080p native versus 1080p upscaled.
Mm-hmm. Well, one is a stretched image and one isn't.
Right. You have your upscalers, depending on how good the upscaler is, but either way, an upscaled 1080p is going to be slightly blurrier.
Yeah, it's an artificial 1080p.
Right.
It's not true 1080p.
Right.
It's amazing. And it's so minor, though. I mean, it depends on your TV as well.
That's the interesting.
It really depends on how new your TV is and how crisp it is.
Well, it depends on how new the TV is. It also depends on where you're sitting with your TV.
Yeah.
So there was an interesting article that talked about the resolutions in optimal seating and where you're at. And for anything over, I want to say it was 45 inches.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been 50, but it was right in that 45-50 range.
Yeah.
It was kind of like if you're 8 feet and beyond,
yeah,
either resolution is going to
be
fine.
You'll be fine.
You won't tell the difference between the resolutions.
Most people won't.
You're sitting far.
No, I export video every day.
Right.
And we make everything in 1080p, but I downscale it. So it's better to go down if you go anything, and not to stretch it out. But I downscale it to 720 because we mainly make videos for the web, and you watch videos on YouTube and Vimeo on a screen that wouldn't be any bigger than 27 inches, really. monitors, iPads, laptops, the biggest you'll get is probably 27. So,
yeah,
you know, and like corporate kind of videos, like on PowerPoints and stuff, we've had 720 video on massive projectors, and they're fine. They're fine.
Right.
Like, no one cares. Like,
now, I'm not going to say that 1080p is not better than 720p. It clearly is. It's a better resolution.
Yeah, it is. But, like, most people won't see the benefit.
Most people won't see the benefit. And when we say most, we're talking about just the casual audience in general.
But I'm talking about a lot of people that listen to this show, you know?
Yeah, like, I think there are some that definitely will notice.
Yeah, but I don't think there's many people with a TV larger than 50 inches.
Right.
Is that really? Like, I mean, if you're playing on your living room TV, maybe you've got like a 60-inch TV, which is fucking ridiculous. But maybe you have, right? And then you'll start to see a little bit of stretching and pixelation or whatever. But I think most people play on a kind of like a second TV or like a smaller TV or something. But even if they play on their main TV, I doubt it's going to be like bigger than 50 inches.
So I think average TV sizes, I think it's somewhere between like 30 and 40 right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, the main part about this, to me, is that all of this resolution talk is everybody so focused on
which
resolution is better. Well, and it is. It's feeding right into the fanboy wars. But the funny part about this is everybody is completely glossing over the fact that right now on the PC side, Call of Duty Ghosts apparently is having major issues with frame rate.
It always does, though.
Right. And the PS4 version also, through a lot of the reviews that I've been reading up, all of the professional reviews out there have been citing that the PS4 is suffering from frame rate dips as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we have yet to see any reviews on the Xbox One, but potentially they could be suffering from the same thing. Mm. The ironic part about this, the Xbox 360 and the PS3 have no mention of any kind of frame rate issues from what I can tell. Mm. And, you know, this may just be some growing pains of next gen. You know, Ruben talked about the Xbox One version, he said, look, we had it running at 1080p, but the frame rate wasn't stable for us, and we made the decision to downsize it to 720 to establish the 60 frames per second.
It's a big jump from 720 to 1080. It really does.
No, it is.
I look at it as file size, and when you play a video, the video has to stream that information, right? So like it has to kind of send that information to you as you're watching it, and it's a massive jump, you know, and 720 is like perfect for, and I'm guessing, I'm not a developer, right, but I'm guessing that the information in a video game has to be streamed through the disc. It has to be streamed from the disc or the file to the console, and upscaling it to 1080, it's a huge jump, you know. So it's just easier. So yeah, it's just a fly in the fan wars, right? That's all it is. It's like every console launch, there's always a reason for one to flame the other. Last time it was the 360 wasn't as powerful. It didn't have like a good exclusive game library as Sony did and all that stuff. It's just bollocks. It's just something that they can throw at each other.
Well, yeah, I think the resolution stuff, I mean, if it's important to you, it's important to you. I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody that tells me, you know, if you tell me it's important that you have 1080p in your games, then it's important to you. I get that. But I think both these consoles are going to have great games. So I think the resolution issue, at least from my perspective, isn't that big of a deal when you consider the fact that, you know, whatever console you buy, you're getting some great games. You're going to have some fantastic games.
These are the launch games as well. Remember how
Remember
how bad launch games looked on the 360?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I distinctly remember.
Call of Duty 2 was a pretty game when it came out. But now, it's janky, man.
Oh, man, I remember buying Madden 2006 and thinking I got bamboozled by EA. because I remember they put out these target videos of what Madden was going to look like, and it looked fantastic. And then Madden 2006 showed up, and it was just nut. I mean, it looked just like regular Madden. It was so disappointing.
You compare a game that came out on the 360 in 2005 to a game that came out this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just do it with Call of Duty. Just do it with that. Two to Modern Warfare 3 or Black Ops 2. It's ridiculous what they squeeze out of these consoles. So it's just, and they have the added problem of it's not solely made for the one console or the one generation. They have this weird, it's the weird trans console cycle where they kind of cater like Assassin's Creed 4. It's not.
Think about it. I mean, if you think about it, in Infinity Ward, they talked about this too. Ruben addressed it, saying it was a logistic nightmare for them. If you think about it, they're making Call of Duty Ghosts for Xbox 360, PS3, Xbox One, PS4, and PC. I believe they have a Wii U version as well. So that's, what, seven consoles or seven different platforms?
Yeah.
Six? I don't know. I lost count. But that's a lot of platforms to be making. You know, for one developer, I don't care how big you are, and they said that none of the Call of Duty Ghost games were ports.
Right.
So that means each one was designed specifically for that system.
But they could have used it of a developer, though, right?
They could have, but as far as I know, they didn't.
Okay.
So, I mean,
that's what Titanfall are doing, isn't they? They are.
Yes, Titanfall has farmed out the Xbox 360.
They are outright saying that the next gen is what they're developing for. The 360 is the just the kind of like, hey, we're supporting the people that set up 360.
It's the port. It really is. It's the port for the Xbox 360.
I think Titanfall could be the Xbox's Gears of War. Yeah,
no. Oh, I have no doubts. It's
going to be the game that comes out and people start to see the benefits, you know, start to see what they're missing. Because until you start seeing what you're missing, I've just watched, while we've been talking, a Call of Duty Ghosts comparison video where they compare PS3, 360 to PS4 and Xbox One. And yeah, you know, especially when they're underwater or at night, you know, the blacks, the color black is a lot better. The shadows are better, the lightings are better. In water, the reflections are better, the darker colors are better. Things like that. But I'm not seeing the benefits. I'm not seeing huge benefits. You know what I mean? I'm not seeing £420 worth of benefits here. I'm seeing just slight improvements that I'm used to.
Yeah.
I'm used to seeing PC gamers having, and not me. And I don't care. You know, and for that reason, I probably will play Assassin's Creed 4 on the 360 and Call of Duty Ghosts on the 360 because I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Well, and you know, again, and just speaking about that logistical nightmare, you know, you think about the resources and how they had to split up, you know, and this is for any developer that's doing multi-platform titles right now. They're splitting up their resources between all of these consoles. And the same thing kind of held true back back when the Xbox 360 and the PS3 came out. We still had developers making, you know, supporting the old gen and supporting the new gen.
Hitman Blood Money was one of those games.
Yeah. And so you're going to have that same kind of situation where they're splitting up their resources. They're not being able to truly focus on the new machines because they're still spending time on the old machines. And it's probably not going to be for another year to 2 years, especially for multi-platform, where we see them make that definitive true jump, where they really focus all of their efforts on the new system. As long as they're still developing for current gen, I think you're going to see them struggle a little bit still with the next gen.
And Call of Duty are in a bit of between a rock and a hard place because they're such a huge franchise.
Mm-hmm.
That they,
without a doubt,
they sort of have to just keep making Call of Duty again. I reckon, you know, that they'll suffer if they're not careful. They will suffer from caring too much about the 360 and PS3 owners. You know, really, Infinity War's next game won't be for another 2 years, right? Like, let's say Ghost 2 in 2015, which is a fucking scary thought. But that's when their game will probably come out, and they should really drop. Not, they won't completely drop it, they'll port it, but they should just not worry about making the 360 and PS3 struggle, because they'll fall behind.
Right.
Battlefield have done a fantastic job of going, look how pretty our game is. You know?
Yeah.
They really have made people go, I want to wait for a new console to play Battlefield 4, and I don't want to play it on my current console.
Yeah, and that is one title I'm very much looking forward to playing.
I mean, I look at Battlefield 4, I'm like, wow, like, I can't wait to play. I don't want to play that on my 360 because it just looks so good. But, you know, maybe I will. It's just like, Titanfall is the one that I'm looking at and going, wow, like, this is nuts. I want to play that on the 360. And Titanfall really is the game that makes me pick an Xbox One. You know, I can't miss Titanfall. I can't miss Halo. I certainly can't miss Halo Wars, Greg.
No, no.
Because they mentioned Halo Wars 2.
Yeah, Phil Spencer mentioned Halo. He said that he thinks that there's a place for Halo Wars in the future.
Indeed.
And I loved hearing that, and I immediately thought of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he talked about tablets and shit like that. And I was like, no, just make two, just make two, just make it like two. One on a console, like two, please.
You know, I'd be okay though if they did something like similar to what they did with Spartan. You know, was it? Now I can't think of it. Halo Spartan Assault.
Spartan Assault. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be happy with that.
Well, in or that console, if they developed it, if they developed it for the PC, but then they had it on, you know, Xbox One and Xbox 360, like they're doing now.
I wouldn't mind if they give it the XCOM treatment, you know, where they make it for the console first, they make it awesome, and then they port it over, and there's some kind of Kinect playability and stuff, whatever. But as long as person X without the tablet and phone, because I don't have a Microsoft tablet or phone, as long as I don't get to suffer, I don't miss out, I'm fine. Just get me a fucking Halo Wars.
Yeah, and I do want an RTS that has, you know, true voice commands, like for base building, that kind of thing.
I don't.
Yeah, think about it. Halo Wars, you jump in between your bases. How much easier would it be to say base one, build, you know?
No, because I'm talking to Matt when I'm playing. Yeah, Matt, I'm saying.
That's true. You are playing it online. You know, fair enough.
We're talking tactics. Oh, no, these people are coming. In fact, I've uploaded a video on Veteran Gamers that will be published tomorrow, or today, Greg, technically. And it will be published, and it's how me and Matt play. And you'll get to see how much we talk and how much...
Oh, I know how you guys play.
Yeah.
Although, you know, we need to get a game of Halo Wars again.
Yeah.
I haven't played with you guys in a while.
No, we will absolutely fuck
crush me.
Yeah.
I know.
I remember last time I played you, I didn't really know Halo Wars. You obliterated me.
Right, and then you took to Halo Wars like it was the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
And now you are like a Halo Wars expert.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? But
it's brilliant.
We should do a one-on-one, Greg, and I'll record it and all that stuff.
You know what else we should do, Mike?
Yes.
We should move on.
We should.
Yes, let's move on. We'll just talk, you know, kind of into the community mailbag stuff. Not a lot happening here, especially Extra Life was going on. Didn't really have a whole heck of a lot of time to prep or do any questions for this week. But I do want to put this out there. You know, we've been going through some kind of growing changes on our side for the podcast, The Overseas Connection. You know, we've have Chris and Rich both who have been pretty much impacted with work affecting their ability to get onto the show on a regular basis. And so what we're doing is we're kind of looking at all of our different options and what we might be able to do in terms of bringing some new blood into the show. And so we're going to do a little bit of a casting call. I'm going to post it up on G4TE. So it'll be in the community forum threads. And, you know, we're going to put it out there to see who from the community might be willing to sign, you know, I'll steal one from Killzone Shadowfall. Sign the oath. Sign up for you know, the Overseas Connection in terms of partaking in the podcast. You know, we're looking for commitment. You know, we've been doing this now. We're on, what, 243 episodes. These are weekly podcasts. You know, I don't expect everybody to be there every week, but, you know, we really do want that. Consistency makes for a better show. And, so yeah, so we're looking for both American and UK, or potentially, you know, if, somebody in, say, Australia, you know, maybe they can slot out the time. And we'll post up, you know, kind of when we record, and potentially, you know, and again, we were talking about changes, potentially a secondary time where we might think about moving the show to. But this really is all going to be kind of contingent on the commitment levels and who thinks they could be, you know, part of the show. And quite honestly, we're going to have to test drive some people out too, because, you know, we want to make sure we have the right fit for the show. So
yeah,
that's not a strike against anybody who doesn't quote unquote make the cut. It's just, you know, again, you know, we're looking at making the best podcast we can.
It is due to work that Chris and Rich have sort of disbanded a little bit. Chris has a very important job defending your beautiful country, Greg.
Yeah, he's defending the East Coast. It's just him, and he is there manning the turrets.
So he genuinely does have a very important job, and he at certain points his job will take over his life. He has to move a lot and spend some time from his family and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, Chris is genuinely, you know, just busy. And Primrose, I think he's been moved up in his job, which requires him, which is funny really, because Stu from the Veteran Gamers has also been changed his job slightly, and we have to record on Sundays now because he can't stay up so late, because he has to do a lot of traveling and all sorts for his job. So yeah, it's just, you know, life happens, Greg.
It does.
It's all about who it fits for at the moment. And we record on Tuesdays at the moment for the Overseas Connection. And yeah, you know, it's just about getting the right vibe on the show.
No, totally agree. And you know, I think about, you know, there's some other podcasts out there, Boss Wave, that I haven't heard from in a while. And maybe some of those guys are thinking, you know, hey, maybe we could, you know, come visit the show.
Yeah, it's not easy doing the podcast every week. But, you know, it's one of these things where, the idea of it is fun, but like it's difficult to just turn up every week, and it's late for the UK as well.
It is late for the UK. Well, I freely admit that, and
gotta,
that's why
it's got to be a night person if you're from the UK.
Yes, so much love for you and those in the UK that have been, you know, making the show, and because I know
that's why Webster fell asleep, and that's why Primrose fell asleep, because it's not late.
Which, by the way, let's face it, those were some of the best moments of the podcast.
It's true. It's true. And Webster left the show just because of work. He used to work at McDonald's of all places, and then he got a job more kind of in line with his career. You know, he decided to take it a little bit more seriously, and it required him to get up very early so he can be on the show. But, you know, if it was up to me, I'd have Webster on every week, you know. And he does pop on there and again. But yeah. It's just one of those things. So, yeah, if you can fit your life right now, if you feel like you can dedicate some hours to it, then, yeah. And if the problem is we get too many, Greg, I think it's always good to have a pool of people. And then then it acts as a first come, first serve. You know, you can send out an email on the Friday or the Sunday or something and say who's in, and whoever replies is in. So, yeah, that kind of thing. So we'll see how people respond to it. But we need some more kind of regulars, because it's getting a bit sporadic.
It's a little thin.
Yeah.
A little thin. Yeah. Speaking of things we should get to, Mike, emails. We had one from Mr. Phil Olson.
Okay, Doug.
Now I'm going to have you read his email, because I'm going to prep. It's down in the old show notes here. Just scroll on down.
I got it.
Yeah. And while you read that, I'm going to prep for the Amazon giveaway.
Yes. This is from Phil Olson. otherwise known as the guy that does the virtualpizza.com podcast. He says, hi there, OC peeps. Just wanted to quickly say a big thank you for the dedication that brackets most of you show in producing such high quality entertainment for us listeners every week. I love seeing that there's a new show to download and listen to on my commute. Keep up the good work, guys. Phil, virtualpizza.com or virtual-pizza.com.
Yes. Yes, and by the way, Phil puts out a tremendously good podcast,
yep.
Virtual Pizza. Highly recommend it. It's not just about gaming. It's kind of about all kinds of things.
So it's a podcast music, magazine. Gaming.
Yeah, it is. It is a podcast magazine, exactly. And it's just a great production. So he puts in far more effort than I do.
Yeah. He actually edits it. I've done one so far, but I'm kind of like the YouTube guy. For Phil's podcast, yeah.
Ah.
So I do the YouTube thing. So if there's anything going on, viral videos, because that's pretty much what, if I'm not playing video games, I'm watching videos. And I'm fascinated with YouTube and how, because it's sort of my job, believe it or not, Greg, to kind of keep up with that kind of stuff. So, you know, I have to kind of make sure that I know what's going on. It's things like Sweet Brown, you know, and Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style and all that sort of stuff. I try and spot as early as I can. And, you know, Harlem Shake. And I'm just fascinated about how it grows and all that stuff. So, yeah, okay. You know, I'm the kind of YouTube guy.
All right. Well, Mr. YouTube guy.
Yeah.
We're gonna do the drawing now. So I have a hat, a baseball cap that I have put all of the qualified names on little slips of paper into the hat.
Is this a real cap that's in front of you?
A real cap. If I had a camera, I'd show you. It is a disgusting hat, by the way. I will just point that out. It's one of the hats I used to use when I played softball. And so the brim or brow, if you will. It's totally brown with sweat and dirt. And then you see some nice little sweat lines as you go further into the cap where I clearly needed to.
I had a cap like that when I was younger. It was an Adidas cap. It was white. And it was always had that band in it, you know, that kind of white band inside the,
And it's brown.
And it's brown. Yeah, it wasn't good.
But yeah, so, and it's a San Jose Sharks hat. I should point that out too. My favorite hockey team.
Where you're from.
Here we go.
Where you live.
Indeed. If you donated at least $25, you got your name into this hat, this disgusting cap. And I will pick forth a winner, and that winner will win a $60 U.S. Amazon card. If you don't live in the U.S., I will make the equivalent amount.
$40.
So in the U.K., it would be 40 yeah. pounds, right?
40.
Amazon
Sorry,
card.
40 yeah. pounds. Yeah, that's fine.
Yep. And that'll be coming your way. So I have drawn the name. I need to unfold it. If I had drums or something, I'd do that, but I don't. And the winner, hang on, the winner is Robert Owen. Robert Owen. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Robert Owen, at least on the surface. He was one of the people that donated kind of towards the last minute, if you will. Robert was great. He said, wishing you every success, especially through the final extra hour. And I believe he listens to the podcast.
Good.
All I know is there were a number of people that donated basically in the final 2 days when I wasn't anticipating it. And Robert Owen, you just won an Amazon card. Congratulations.
Is his email show on –
Yes.
I have his email.
Yes. I will email him and let him know he has won. And, Robert, if I should know you and I'm not realizing that and don't take offense to it, I'm still like half dead from the weekend. I still haven't fully recovered. Congratulations, Robert. And, I look forward to next year and doing it all again. As crazy as that sounds, Mike.
Well done, Rob.
Yeah. Let's talk about this week's events and happenings. Really nothing going on.
Minecraft server. There's a Minecraft server still.
Yeah. It's still going strong. It is the original Minecraft server for Gate.
Yeah.
So all of the roller coasters and stuff. That's still going on. And I did not do my due diligence. I was supposed to be checking birthdays and new members and all of that good stuff. And so, Mike, if you stall for a second, maybe talk about how you can email the podcast and tweet the podcast. I will do some background stuff while you're talking about that. Does that sound like a plan?
Sounds good.
So start talking, Mike.
La la la, la la la, la la la.
Or you could tell people how they could contact the podcast.
La la la.
That was...
La 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 la, la. This is me talking.
All right.
I'll tell them.
All right, fine. Tell them. Tell them now.
You should contact the podcast thing.
Yes.
They can email.
Right.
It stands for electronic, you see. And they can email the show ocpodcast@gmail.com. Or, apparently there's another email now. Since
yes.
When?
Since I was told it existed over the weekend, so I figured I'd throw it up there.
Right. Apparently, so I'm confused. What difference does it make?
Really not too much, but if you email podcast@g4te.com, it routes itself over to our Gmail account as well.
I see. So, and it looks a bit
more special.
Official.
Yes, it does look a little bit more official.
Gmail.
For
so it looks more professional.
Yes.
So podcast@g4te.com.
Yes.
That's easy to remember as well.
Podcast@g4te.com.
You can tweet us at @OC_podcast. You can leave us an iTunes review, or you can check us out on YouTube. We have a new video on the Gaming for the Elderly going up of me and you, Greg.
Yes. Yeah, and it officially will go up this week because I now have the video. I was able to download it.
Yeah. Even though I did it, of course, two weeks ago.
Yeah, you sent it to me quite a while ago. I completely didn't do anything with it. And I went to download it today, Mike, and it said, sorry, this is expired.
Yeah. Week transfer only keeps it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So never
mind. But I have it now. I have it. Yeah. I downloaded it. It'll go up this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But more importantly, we want to say happy birthday to Cerverus Death.
Happy birthday.
He's got a birthday coming up. And we also want to say, welcome aboard to Bobby Boy 6, Timon, and Doc.
Welcome.
We're all new members to g4te.com. So, yeah.
Welcome.
And I think we're pretty much kind of at that point, Mike, where we can kind of wrap things up. So, you have any shout outs you want to do?
Yeah.
I'm going to run the list of my donors.
Yeah.
So that's my big shout out.
I think I'm going to shout out the people that did the 24-hour thing. A massive shout out to all of you guys and girl, that did that. It's something that I want to do, Greg. I've always wanted to have a go at it, but every time it comes up, it's one of those things where it's just like, it's not the right time, for me. And it crept up on me this year.
It crept up on a lot of us. I freely admit, I got a late jump on it myself.
Yeah, it really kind of crept up. I would have liked to have been ready for it in about a month. I know everybody knows when it's coming, but you just kind of, you forget that, and other things come up. So, I think, I just, by the time I realized it was on, I thought, well, I've got like a week and I'm not going to raise that much money, but I suppose that's not the point, you know, it's, even if you raise a little bit, it would have helped. But anyway, I'm backing myself into a corner. Big shout out to the people that did it. Greg DeLacy, Gary Felice, Mark Royce, Kim Woods, BJ Reed, Mary Kate and Madison Clark, Ryan Truman, Show, Nick Old, and Sean won't get any hassle off him. Sean Hassle. Yes. So the big shout out to all of you peeps for doing that and raising $2,715 as of the time that I'm reading it. So yeah, it's not an amount to be snuffed at. You know, you've reached your goal, which was £2,000, and you've been. You got $715 on top of it, so $2,000,
and hopefully more. Hopefully more.
Yeah, hopefully it's gonna break the $3,000 mark.
Yeah, and what was exciting was the charity actually raised over $3.8 million.
Brilliant.
This time, so yeah, they really just have been charging ahead.
Yeah.
So I'm going to now take a moment to shout out everybody that donated to me, So first on the list, Renu Doshi. This actually is Ray and Jason. We also know Jason is Shinyverse. I said, good luck, Greg, Ray and Jason. Gary Lever, keep it going. Robin Tate, for the kids, for all the kids. From Matt Tremaine, Robert Owen, and he said, wishing you every success, especially through the final extra hour.
And he won the thing.
Yeah, and he won the thing. Again, congratulations, Robert. Mr. Christopher Matthew, he partook. Stuart Jones, all the best, Greg. Try not to resent gaming too much after this. Let me tell you, there was a period where I was severely angry, and that was about, I want to say it was 4:30 in the morning. Well, I should say it's 5:30 in the morning. I looked at the clock and I saw it said 5:30, and I said to myself, you know, not too bad. I'm feeling pretty good. Only got a few more hours, you know, about 4 more hours. I'm good. And then I looked at my Xbox controller because I'd hit the guide button and saw that it said 4:30 in the morning. And I realized daylight savings had kicked in and I was angry.
Yes.
And at that point, I completely lost mental focus, and it was the biggest struggle for the remaining hours. And in fact, when I was trying to play GTA 5, the single player, shortly thereafter, I was having such a hard time focusing. Just simple things like driving from one location to the other. I literally was running into everything. Yeah. I mean, I could not drive straight. I was running into buses, to lampposts.
What game was this people. On?
Grand Theft Auto 5.
Is this just the story mode, though?
Just the story mode, yeah. Okay. So I quickly realized that was not going to be a game I could continue to play because I couldn't stay focused on it. A big shout out to Bodies by Amorim. This actually is my friend Travis Amorim. He's a personal trainer, and he said, "Don't play too hard." With the big old wink face. Matthew Bozanello, and again, if I'm mispronouncing anybody's name, blame Mike.
Yeah,
it's not my fault.
It's my fault. I'm English.
Matthew said, "Yeah." Matthew said, "Good luck." Kim Woods, good luck as well. Gary, we know him as Johnny Fart Pants 5, or Johnny Fart Pants, excuse me. Gary Simington said, good luck, fella. This is payback for all the awesome shows you've given to me. So you are so welcome, Gary. Richard Garstecki, we had him on the show last week. He said, great cause, Greg. Kevin Knight, good luck, Greg. Mike and Sheree Carr, we love you, Greg. That's my sister and her husband.
What's the name?
Mike and Sheree. So my sister Sheree. Yeah.
Sheree.
And then Sheree. Funny fact, her original name was Sherry, but she didn't like it. She changed it to Sheree when she got
She's
older.
She's not going
to
like me if she ever meets me. Hey, Sherry.
Debbie Cleva, you go, Greg. Thanks for doing this. Joanne Kirkpatrick. And, of course, my mother-in-law, Wilma Gill, she had said, sent in a donation as well. So
thanks,
thank you to all. Yes. Thank you to all. Great cause. Looking forward to doing it again next year and hopefully get your support again. And I think that's it. I think we're officially done.
Yes. I think we're done.
See ya.
Goodbye. Maybe.
Toots.
Ish.
Ta-ta.
I don't know.
We're out of here.
Yeah, we're done. But, like, obviously people do it on the weekend and all. Look, we went to a massive one by us, and it was run by the council and stuff, so it was pretty big.
The council. It sounds so dark and seedy, the council.
Nah, every district has a council.
I get that, you know. It's like, you know, every county and city in the U.S., we all have our own, like, smaller governments. You know, you have your...
What do you call them?
Well, City Hall is typically like for a city, you have City Hall.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the council.
Yeah, you have the council.
Yeah, and so Wolverhampton Council put the... Exactly. And, so but a shootout, like a shots fired and all that stuff is a little bit of a bigger deal to us Brits.
You know, I would like to think it's a big deal to everybody. And I realize that may not be the case in some areas of the United States, but on a whole, shots fired is a big deal.
Yeah, it should be.
It should be a big deal, you know? I mean, I guess your accent is probably closer to...
it's a little easier to understand.
Thick.
Yeah.
Well, it's not as thick.
Yeah. I was talking to an Irish girl today. It was really hard to understand her. Just a bit of me going, I don't know what she's talking about.
Yeah. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.